The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
It's 10 p.m. It is that time. That time on a Monday night where Chef Flom comes on the air and runs his mouth a little bit. That's right. Runs his mouth a little bit. Hope you guys are... Wow, that's a loud noise coming back at us. Hope everything is going well. Hope the world finds you well. Hope the show finds you well. I am doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. I know you all were wondering. I am sitting down here at the basement. Wait. In the basement at the bar. I just popped the top on a crowler of Montauk Summer Ale, my last one. Looking forward to getting some more of that. And I am sitting down here tonight about to have one hell of a conversation with two great chefs. And we are going to talk about the state of the plate, where we're at in this industry, what's wrong with this industry. So I tell you what, you guys, I've had a couple of stories here recently and a couple of questions recently, so I thought what a better spot to talk about that than with a couple other chefs. And, of course, with you guys. The awesome people who check out this very program. It's going to be a call-in show tonight, guys. That's right, a call-in show. You can call in, voice your opinion, tell us what's wrong, tell us what you'd like, tell us what you don't like. You know, just give a lowdown on it, man. It's really, really that simple, and we're going to try to figure it out. And, hey, if you're completely wrong, I'm going to say to you, you're completely wrong. You're way off base. But if you're right, I probably will agree with you, and so will everybody else on the table, the round table for the show tonight. We're talking to the one and only Chef Jeff Ferrazzi. He is the founder of one of the hottest private chef companies happening out in the Hamptons right now, the JK Chef Collection. He himself is a private chef and been one for a very, very long time. A great guy, very talented guy. Make sure you follow him at Forking Chef on social media. And, of course, show regular and our buddy Chef Adam Bettini is going to call in and talk to us a little bit to give a different point of view. On everything, coming from the food truck perspective, coming from the perspective of a newly starting to do his own kind of catering business. It's kind of a new perspective. And, of course, myself, with 20 years experience, breaking down knowledge. It should be a lot of fun tonight. Looking forward to this episode. It should be good times. I set it for a little bit longer to see if we could, if we want to go long or not. We'll see how things go. Maybe we won't. I am pretty freaking tired because I just got back from being in the foothills of White Mountains of Vermont, about 40 miles from the Canadian border. And let me tell you something, it was a camping trip that we do. It was a lot of fun being out there, but gosh, it is hard, hard work, man. It really is, especially for a gentleman of my size and stature. I have to do a lot of wood cutting, a lot of dealing with, you know, just the things it takes to keep a fire going, to work in a place, to cook in a place that has, you know, very rudimentary tools, and of course working on a fire over a fire pit and not having any running water or any electricity. It's definitely a chore. It's troublesome. Problem is with it is that the fire is 6'3" below me where I need it to be, so it makes it slightly difficult when you're trying to cook food, that's for damn sure. But it's fun to be out there and see some of the great stuff. It's beautiful out there. I posted some of the pictures you can see on Instagram and, of course, on the Facebook page itself, Chef with 2 F's _Plum on Facebook. We did a Facebook Live out there. I was having some of the beautiful local beers that are out there, up there in Vermont, about 40 miles from the Canadian border. I tell you what, they don't. Everyone still speaks English, but it's the border of people that speak English, because those Canadians, you know, French Canadians are up there. They all speak French, and you know, my French itself isn't. I speak a little French because I have to from being in kitchens. But I mean, some of these guys, I heard them talking. Wow, it's just really fast. I don't know, like. I pick up every word or two or something like that, but man, it's tough when you're dealing with people who don't speak your language. And you know, I think in the business today, you're seeing a lot of that, and it kind of always has been. It's kind of always been something that, you know, when it comes to this business, is just one of the things that we have, that we deal with, that is part of what we do. And you kind of have to be down with it, whether it's Spanish, whether it's Portuguese or French, even, you know, it's the nature of the business, and that's what it's about. And you know, as frustrating as it can be, it can also be very positive, because you learn a new language, you learn some other types of food, some other cuisines, from people who are from there, from a different country, from a different place that maybe you're not accustomed to. So it's a, you know, I've always tried to look at it as an opportunity to learn more. You know, I've always had a lot of Spanish-speaking dishwashers, and I asked them a lot about food they ate growing up and things of that nature, because I think it's interesting to learn how that works. You know, this Wednesday, I'm actually going to be on CT Style here locally in Connecticut, in the tri-state area, doing a segment on CT Style. And I'm actually doing a segment on summer salsas, which sounds silly, but my salsa that I make, my go-to, is based off something that one of the nannies at one of my first private clients taught me how to make. She called it chimol. I'm not really sure what that translates to, but it's the simplest thing of all time, but you can make this simple thing, and you can add things to it to change it around. You can add a little avocado, some black bean, whatever you want. You want red roasted corn, mashed roasted corn. You want to add mangoes, add mangoes to it. It's amazing how simple little things can make the biggest difference on something so simple, and change it and be used so many different ways. You know, especially when it's the time of year we're getting into now, where we have such fresh vegetables and fresh produce coming in. I mean, God, it really is a great time of year. It really is awesome. So, like I said, I was in Vermont. I went to a farmer's market out there. And it was something else, man, because you have so many farmers in that area, and they're so proud of what they do, as they should be. But they really, really, truly are – I don't know how to explain it. It's such a local thing, and I was so proud to be there and see the things there. And, you know, at this farmer's market, there was – anything you could think of, they had it there, even to, like – weaved basket weaving hats. It was amazing. I didn't purchase said hat, but they did have some. We found it interesting. I was there with my brother-in-law, and we were looking for meat to cook over our caveman firing cooking techniques we were using on our campsite. And they had some amazing grass-fed beef and just local meats. And let me tell you something, man. One of the things they had was from a pig farm, and it was these pork chops, but they were frozen. And I told my brother-in-law, I said, dude, I'm not buying frozen pork chops. He's like, why? They're going to be delicious. I'm like, dude, they're frozen. All you guys know out there as a chef, as a cook, as a hospitality person, individual, frozen pork never comes out as good as when it's fresh. And so I was like, I just can't see wasting the money for it. Anyway, he talked me into it. He used his money. He bought the pork chops. They were from a farm where these pigs just, I mean, they just kind of are on the farm. They get fed. There's really nothing else that happens to them. They get checked to see for pregnancy, and that's about it. So he bought those, and we bought some beef, and it was $25 for all of this meat that we bought. I couldn't believe it. I was like, God, it's not that expensive at all. It's amazing the price difference. So the point of this story is this. It's amazing how trendy it's become to buy grass-fed local products, and those are becoming more of a buzzword than a way of life for people, or the way food should be purchased for us chefs. And it kind of drives me crazy, because when you go to a place like Vermont, in the nestled in the hills of the White Mountains, 40 miles from the Canadian border, where, you know, it's not really about a trendy thing, it's more about a lifestyle. You know, these people are selling their goods, and it's not expensive. What we bought at that farmer's market for $25 would have been $45, $50 easily at farmer's market around where we live here in the tri-state area, New York City area, you know, Westchester. It would have been crazy expensive. On to the pork chops now. So we get to the house, we get to the campfire, the campsite, and we start firing these pork chops. They get defrosted for the most of the part of the day because we're out fishing and whatnot. Come back, they're ready to go. I start working on the fire. brother-in-law opens up all the pork, and I tell him to put a little garlic on it, season it up a little bit with the stuff that we had. And, you know, long story short, dude, these pork chops were amazing. They were frozen, but they came out unbelievable. We just simply grilled them and seasoned them and sliced them up, took them off the bone, made it look nice, delicious, not dry, not, I mean, a lot of it's too is a cooking technique, you know, but nonetheless, it was really, really tasty stuff. And so here's the point of that story. You know, you buy something like that locally from a purveyor who, and not a purveyor is the wrong word, from a person who just does it. It's their lifestyle. It's the way they live their life. It's amazing the difference that it makes, that what our animals eat and how they're treated completely affects the final product on the plate. And I was witness to that this weekend, 40 miles from the Canadian border in the foothills of the White Mountains overlooking Shadow Lake in Concord, Vermont. That's right, guys. Cooking over a fire. How about that? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a big slug here off my crowler of Montauk Summer Ale, my last can I got. I'm going to play a quick spot, and then we're going to come right back and get into this whole breakdown of what we're talking about. It comes to the state of the plate. Chop Talk, baby. What's bothering you? You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Hang tight. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF. And get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes. Monday night. I don't know if I call it that or call it a business paradise. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. I am your host, the one and only Chef Plum. And guys, this show tonight's going to go one of two ways. It's honestly, it's going to be kind of a shit show and crazy and people run their mouths. But, you know, I have a feeling that everybody kind of puts a positive spin on things in the end. So, you know, I'm really, really happy to have my guest on tonight to kind of help help figure this whole thing out. You know, I've got the one and only Chef Jeff Perazzi coming on, Forking Chef on all social media. He's a great guy, a positive guy. I've been around this business for a very, very long time and done some amazing things with some amazing people. So I'm happy to have him on here. Chef, what's happening?
How you doing, Plum?
I am good, brother. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. Good to be back.
Yeah, I figured I'd play Paradise to talk about the business that we're in.
I used to work at a place called The Paradise. I used to stay it every single day. That was my old mantra.
Was it
what
really?
Are you doing? Going to Paradise. Another day in Paradise.
That's awesome, dude. I used to go to a place called Paradise, where they took all my singles. Oh! All right.
Oh!
That was terrible. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah,
also,
yeah, it's good. It's all good. Come on.
Join
the
show tonight.
You need
the
ba-dum.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Join us tonight, too. We're going to see how it goes. They're having people kind of help with the round table here. He is the Connecticut Chef's Challenge champion. He is a good friend of mine, a very, very talented cook, making his way through the business, a very positive guy, very funny guy, the one and only Chef Adam Bedini. Chef, what's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, Plum? How you doing, brother?
I am good. Adam, meet Chef Jeff Perazzi. You guys on the phone together?
It's a pleasure, Adam.
What's up,
I've been following you for
How
a while
doing,
on Instagram.
Thank you, man.
So, gentlemen, you know, I kind of wanted to talk this show a little bit about. It's amazing how many, I don't know what the word is, haters you get, how much food haters you get, how many people hate this business but still won't leave it. You know what I mean? They just, it's kind of like quicksand. The more you do it, the deeper it pulls you in. You know?
Oh yeah,
it's a ride or die kind of lifestyle, dude.
Yeah, I think so. And so, Jeff, how long have you been doing this stuff now?
Cooking?
Yeah,
roughly 25 years.
Wow. And how many? How long have you been doing the private client thing?
I've been doing the private client thing for about 8-9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
As a
and
private chef, and 2 years with the company, the new company, but.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And Adam, how long have you been in the business now?
Right now, about 13 years, you know, and I'm right at the point where I'm starting the personal catering thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's intense.
You can be.
So between the three of us, we have over 50 years experience in this food business because I'm working on 20 myself. And it's amazing how much it's changed. To me, it felt like it kind of started off when I got into the business. It was a thing. It was a job. It paid your bills. And now it's kind of become a thing where it's, you know, it's got a lot of prestige to it. It's got a lot, you know, people are like, oh my God, you're a chef. You know, I want to talk to you about food. Jeff, especially with what you do, man, how often do you see people who are kind of just, you know, I don't know, like dazzled by what you do?
Often. I mean, a lot, you know, everyone always asks. Like, I don't know. A lot of times I get called out to the dining room and it'll be like, oh, can you tell us how you made this? And, you know, you have to turn it on and say, a lot of times I say stuff like, oh, I cut it into cubes and I put a stick through it and then I marinated it and then I cooked it. and I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I did. Exactly what I did. But, you know, you can't say it that way. You have to be like, oh, well, you know, first, I went to the local seafood shop, and I talked to my purveyor.
Yeah.
And, you know, my guy got me this swordfish. It's fantastic, right? And then I rubbed it with a marinade. Whew. Peaches.
Yeah,
I started with peaches. Yeah, you know, you just go through the whole thing. And it's fun.
I'm getting
that,
turned
that's
on
what
a little
I love.
Bit. You talk about rubbing it some more? This is doing good for me.
Yeah. Oh, you like that voice, right? I have a good voice
yes.
for that.
We talk.
But so how often is it you say these things to somebody just from your end of the business, working the private clients, you say these things, but then, you know, the customer still ends up not really being happy, or they just it makes you bust your ass, you make something amazing, you go out, you do your sexy voice and everything for it, but you still just, I mean, they're kind of like, you know, in the end. I mean, just because
yeah, well, food is subjective, man. You know, like food is very subjective, and some people
True
don't
that.
Like a lot of salt. Some people, you know, some people are fucking on the latest fad of the month,
know.
You know, or whatever. I mean, it just changes so much day to day with every person. You know, you do a party for 20. If every single person loves you, like kudos, you know. But someone's gonna like,
yeah.
And everyone's always polite. This is the other thing too. Like, you know, you learn this in the private world. Is to your face, they're super polite, but then try to get money tomorrow. and see how nice everybody is all the time. You know, it's like sometimes it's like, you know, that's when all the subjectiveness comes out, and you know, you have to really, it becomes difficult, you know, for sure. You know, especially when you know a chef and you know that they did a great job and you love the chef, and you know, the chef and the client's making up a story saying, you know, or maybe not making up a story, but that's just how they feel, you know, and I don't know, it's tough.
You're right. I think it's interesting because I think you find, at least for me, in this business, you'll find that whether it's private chef working in a restaurant, I mean, you can't get them all. And Adam, I got to imagine you with the truck, man, you're serving hundreds and hundreds of people. I mean, what happens when someone's not happy with what they want, what they order from you?
Well, you know, it's as you know, that you get the good old Yelp, you know, I'll threaten you on Yelp, you know, that nonsense. But,
<That's great.
laughs> you know, you always want to try to avoid that. So you always got to keep, you know, a professional attitude because, you know, I'm
totally,
I mean, like when I'm in the truck and, you know, I'm the only one, I'm like, I got my little helper with me, but you know, I got to keep professional because it's me doing everything. So I got to, you know, keep a good persona about some of the situations that you run into with the business, you know?
But you got to keep it positive with them because, you know, they're going to be repeat customers for you, you know, because I think you kind of build a clientele with the truck, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you've had some of the food. How do you think about it? You've come back.
It was fucking terrible. It was the worst thing I've ever had in my life. I didn't understand. No. He makes the short rib grilled cheese that is fucking out of this world. It's amazing. You know, I was talking about you. I mean, you're a fantastic cook, and to me, it's one of the best compliments I could ever get in the world. Someone says, hey, man, you're a great cook. I love that compliment. You know, but you have chefs now.
Yeah,
absolutely, dude. But you have chefs now who, if you tell them they're a fantastic cook, which make no mistake, what do? We cook food, don't we?
Oh, come on.
That's what we do, day in and day out.
But you have people who, you know, some chefs in this world are quote chefs, or you call them and say, hey, man, you're an amazing cook, and they get offended. I don't understand that. I mean, have you guys encountered anything like that, Jeff? Maybe chefs, you know, you hire chefs or something like that, and, you know, that work for the JK Chef Collection.
Most of the chefs that work with the collection, I should say all the chefs most of the chefs who've come out for the collection have been fantastic. All the chefs that we've hired for the collection have been, you know, they have that. I don't like to work with prima donnas. I just don't appreciate that.
Oh, man, tell me about it.
I just don't appreciate that. At the end of the day, if you worked hard and you have degrees and you did that, I mean, hats off. I think it's amazing. I love hearing that people have, you know, worked all over the world and stage places. I think it's great. But I also don't think that it makes you a better human being than someone else, you know, and I think that everyone kind of deserves the same amount of respect. And like you said, at the end of the day, we all cook. And I think that people kind of like get lost in words and mix words too much instead of just like kind of feeling someone's intention, you know, with their word. You know, sometimes people don't aren't as eloquent as someone else possibly, and they don't put it across the right way or maybe in the right language, so it's received wrong. I don't know. I find it all crazy.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. And I mean, in this day and age too, I think you should probably change the name from the JK Chef Collection. You're trying to, you're getting chefs like fucking catching Pokemon.
I'm trying. I always need chefs. I mean, I love to meet new chefs. I love to hire chefs. I love to have chefs on the team. Because just the nature of our business, we have so many different types of clients. And how I like to put people with clients is I like to match people not just on culinary stuff but on their, you know, oh, here's a selfish plug, I'm going in, sorry. you know, I like to just make sure they get along, and not everyone's for everyone. So it's like the more chefs I know, the better chances I have of making the right connections, you know.
It's like being bisexual. Like, so therefore you can just kind of get 50% more.
It's got to be open-minded, baby. Yeah, come on.
That's like talking to voice again. No, I'm kidding. Speaking of that, though, you also, I mean, because you talk to so many chefs, man, a lot of opportunities come your way. And you were telling me on the phone earlier today about an opportunity that's happening out in Nantucket for a buddy of yours, right?
Oh, yeah. We're working with a hotel group in Nantucket. They just opened up a small hotel, and we're working at staffing them. And that's a Michelin-starred chef looking to build a small team of cooks. You know, there's a lodging there on the island, and probably a 6 month project, and I think it'd be really great for a young chef. Anybody out there who's interested, please get at me, Jeff at JK Chef Collection. Shoot me a resume, shoot me an interest, shoot me a note, and I'll get back to you and let you know more about it. But yeah, it's definitely, I think it's going to be great. We've already actually placed half the team, but we're still looking to put another four positions out. So I think that would be great if anyone out there is interested in working in Nantucket. It's a really great opportunity.
That's awesome.
Jeff at JK Reservations.
I'm saying, sir.
What was the email?
Jeff at JK Chef Collection.
We'll get that. We'll put on social media too and get it out there for you, man.
Sounds like
a pretty good
gig. Thanks a lot. For sure.
Includes housing. They're even giving you a paycheck, and you're working with a Michelin star chef. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
That doesn't matter.
It's definitely a good deal.
It's all about the experience.
Yeah,
I think it'd be a great experience. I mean, the chef is a really great guy. He's definitely really building
totally
a family team. So I think it's good.
Awesome.
Like I said, it's a good position.
That's what it's all about.
It's fucking Nantucket. Like, who doesn't want to go there and live? You know?
I mean, come on. It's pretty amazing out there for sure. I mean, but it's one of those kind of jobs where you're going there to sacrifice and really learn and work on a team. You know, like build. It's a brand new hotel. With a restaurant, with an amazing small menu that's going to be like, as much local stuff as they can possibly use, and just really, really, really well executed. I mean, he's really excited about the food, so I think anyone to be out there, it's going to be one of those experiences you want to put on your resume and just personally just to have. I think it's going to be one. I wish I was a little younger. I would actually do it, but I have kids and a wife.
See, that's what happens to old guys like you and me.
Yeah,
we're too old. We can't do shit like that anymore. Let's take a phone call, guys.
Gotta pull the wagon.
I know who we got on hold here. Let's go to this call real quick and say what's going on. Hang on a second here. Here we go. All right, everybody. The noise in the background. What's happening? You got Chef Plum here. What's happening? Who we got? Yep, that's you on hold, miss.
Oh, you right there.
Hello?
She's laughing at me. Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
What's up, Plum? Hey, Adam, love you.
What? Who is that?
How come I didn't get a love you? That was messed up.
I'm super happy.
I love you, Plum, too.
No, you don't. It's fine.
Yes, I do. Wait a second. Hold on, Plum. You said you'd be in Florida by now. What's going on? When are you coming down?
Sarah.
I came and went. I was there very, very quickly and briefly for a minute. Of course, Sweet Cakes by Sarah is on the phone with us right now. What's going on down there? What are you guys doing?
What's going on,
here,
Sarah?
We're here with Pan Chef.
My man.
We're stuck in Maine.
Oh, Colin, what's
in the
up, water. Dude?
Yeah.
What's up?
We're stuck in the woods in the boondocks cooking for a camp with a whole bunch of kids and a really bad food director.
Nice.
So
sounds like a glory job.
Right now.
And this all comes back to your topic of the night.
That's where we're going. Tell me about it. Tell me what makes it so bad.
Well, when you forget to tell me that after lunch I need to serve ice cream for 350 kids, and I leave the kitchen assuming that everything is A-OK, and I come back, and then you blame everything on me, we got a big problem right there.
Oh, no. How many kids was it?
350.
We're right now 350, but we're going back down like next week.
Wow. So you thought everything was done. You leave the kitchen, but these kids are all still waiting for ice cream.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's the least of our problems. Like, can you imagine when we're not even told exact count for dinner, for lunch, for breakfast.
Yeah.
It's like a guessing game every fucking meal. Ooh, am I
holy shit. Plum, I thought I had it on.
Shit, we got it.
Wow. No, you can say whatever you want. Of course, you know that. Wow. You guys, that is terrible. How long have you been in Maine now?
We're going out to like a month and a week or so. We're going to be here until like the beginning of September, and then we head back down to South Florida.
So
oh my
beautiful.
God.
So
yeah.
Please
it's
pray
funny for us.
Oh my
pray
God.
And more beer.
you're in our thoughts and prayers, but you got Jeff here on the phone with us also, and Jeff's a guy who's been working privately and doing private parties for a long time, as myself as well. And I've never quite had someone come at me and say, "Oh, by the way, you forgot dessert for 350 people." Jeff, has that ever happened to you?
No. No, sorry.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, that's not. No, man. No. That's wrong.
Dude. If,
yeah.
Plum, I know you like you're a big beer guy. I have to recommend Allagash.
Is that a fat joke?
What is Curio.
Allagash,
Curio.
Oh my God, we're drinking it right now.
Dude, it's cured in bourbon barrel. It's amazing.
We're going to hit the brewery about in a week or two. We have to. It's amazing. Adam's a beer guy.
That sounds awesome. I'm definitely a beer guy, and I'm looking forward to trying that, too. I love
Was there any fruit in the walk-in? Maybe you could just tell the dude that there was fruit in the walk-in, and they fucked up, and they should have put the fruit out. Right? Should be like, yo, what are you talking about, man? It was apples all up in that motherfucker. Hand fruit. You didn't see the hand fruit on the menu? It was hand fruit. No.
Holy
shit,
as much as the
fuck-up's been on, like, the food director, like, everything has been on point, food-wise, dessert-wise, everything's been on point. This camp has seen food that they have never seen before, and...
That's awesome.
Like, that makes me super happy. The kids are happy, you are happy.
That's because you guys rock.
Absolutely.
Putting smiles on kids' faces worldwide. That's what we do.
I mean, you got to check these guys out there, Jeff. These two are amazing cooks. You can see their stuff on Instagram.
I follow them on Instagram. I follow everybody on Instagram. I lurk, man. I'm up on that shit all day.
You're a little creepy. I will admit, you are a little creepy.
I post ghost. I don't do anything else. I don't talk to people and stuff. I'm not that dude. But I like to, unless I don't know how to do something, and I'm like, yo, what did you just do? Because sometimes that happens on Instagram.
So
I love
Sarah,
that.
Carlos,
everyone's usually pretty cool.
Are you guys?
It's great.
I just picture like you guys sleeping in bunk beds and like a camp with like the rest of the kids, like. Where they put you up at? Like
right
out, roasting marshmallows.
Right now we're in a wooden bunk talking to you, and there's spiders and mosquitoes and horses.
Oh my God.
And, yeah.
Oh, man.
We're like 10 years old again.
It's awesome.
This is like the ultimate private client. This is like the ultimate private client.
I feel like grabbing cowboy boots, a cowboy hat for a goddamn horse and right out there to the sun.
I'm gonna send you a lasso, man. I'm gonna send you a lasso so you can get some cattle.
There you go.
Wait, what are you sending me? I'm the idiot that brought her pink pumps out here.
We'll send you some ice cream.
Oh my God! Listen, you're the only person in Maine with pink pumps.
No. Let's top it off. I have six foreigners, and they don't speak a lick of English. So like, it's so hard to communicate to explain to them.
No say.
It's kosher,
no say.
So obviously dairy and meat cannot be mixed together.
Oh my
so,
God, kosher?
Yeah.
Oh
yes,
man,
kosher.
You're on a kosher diet. Super
kosher.
Kosher
camp in Maine? Is it Camp
Co?
Apparently. Yes.
Okay, yeah, we're totally kosher, but Pan Chef, like Carlin, went out and got mussels and clams and shit and made a staff meal. In a kosher
kitchen. Oh my God.
Oops. Chef.
Dude,
that probably went over really well. Hey, man, open your mind.
Hell.
That's all.
Yeah, right? You guys are in hell right now. I will definitely be thinking about you. Sorry, I missed you in Florida. Florida happened really, really quick, you guys.
Are you coming back down?
Fun. There's a whole lot happening right now.
Where in Florida?
So, they're in South Florida.
Florida.
But right now, they went from fucking beautiful South Florida with amazing things to fucking Maine with bugs and people who don't speak English in a kosher farm, a kosher camp.
Oh my God.
A kosher
God.
Farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, you can say a kosher farm.
There you go. Hey, listen. Best
your
of luck to you guys.
Your delivery comes twice a week.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my
Good
God.
God. Wait, do they give you a day off?
You're
do you guys get a day off?
One freezer. Excuse me?
Do you guys get a day off or no?
Yeah, Saturday, but every night is our day off. We try to drink a beer or two every night after work.
You're like, every night is our day off.
It's needed. After you deal with this over here, it's freaking needed.
Hey, really quick, before we go, let you guys go. Tell us what one of the what was dinner tonight for the campers?
Oh,
dinner tonight was shawarma. So it was chicken marinated shawarma,
Middle Eastern
style. We had hummus, Israeli salad, salad bar, pita. What else did we have on there?
And then for lunch we had a vegetarian chili. It was like off the hook.
Vegetarian chili.
Good.
Wow, nice.
Potatoes.
Yeah. No, food here.
It sounds pretty
like,
good.
They've never seen food. This is not your typical camp food. That's for sure.
The first and foremost, you always cook with love and always have respect for the food. And once you have that respect and love for the food, everything else just comes along and ties along. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there, you know, doing the genius plate-ups and doing all this nice stuff, and I respect that 100%.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you're able to satisfy a child's stomach and get that feedback from them every day, come back to the kitchen and ask you, yo, what are we having for lunch? What are we having for breakfast? What are we having for dinner? That's just, you just got to bow down and say, yo, like,
these kids come to the kitchen like, oh, my God, what's for lunch? What's for lunch? What's for dinner? They're so excited.
Wow. That's amazing, man.
Good for you.
That's amazing.
That's the best. That's
cool.
It really is.
That's amazing. Hey, look, and you're the only place probably in the entire state of Maine serving shawarma. How about that? That's impressive.
Definitely.
Camp.
That's for sure.
There you go. There you go. Listen, and you guys should make sure you check out Sweet Cakes by Sarah and, of course, my man Pan Chef. Before he went to Maine, following my man Pan Chef's Instagram account is like watching an episode of The Entourage because the dude's everywhere. That's what it's about right there. You guys are crushing
it. Get it.
Best of luck to you guys. I hope it gets easier.
Keep your head up.
Yes.
I love you, dude.
We're watching you.
Love you guys.
We're watching you, Adam.
Take care.
Love you guys.
Man,
be
fuck
good.
Adam.
Bye.
Nobody like that, dude. Bye, guys. Hang in there. Drink another beer for me. I'll talk to you soon.
Yo.
There they go.
That's awesome.
Heading on down the road. Sweet Cakes by Sarah.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Two of our favorites. Bro, can you imagine being at a camp like that, serving 350 kids, and then like just not getting all the info? What the fuck?
Well, I mean, that's what it's all about, man. It's all about... I feel like communication is so important. It's like if you have somebody that you work with that's not communicating all the information to you, like you have to like, I guess this is my experience from working out here so much and having to like pull teeth to figure stuff out. Cause sometimes you'll say like, oh, what's the menu? Do you have any dietary restrictions? No. And then you have to like ask it four different ways, but like almost like an interrogator. So you're positive no one has a dietary restriction. So there's no one with any special diets. Like, no one's gluten-free.
Right.
There's someone gluten-free. Oh, yeah, totally.
Right.
I'm like, oh, right. Thank you for that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Way to give me that information
minute,
without having to pull the teeth for it. But thanks, yeah. But you have so hard. It's like...
This menu looks fantastic, but I'm sorry. My girlfriend's pregnant. I forgot to say that, and she can't have shellfish, so...
Shellfish.
But you have a clam bake. What the fuck? You hired me for a clam bake.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it just sounds like a fucking nightmare sometimes to hear some of these stories. But this is the thing I find really, really interesting with the chefs these days, man. And this is honest to God what I'm talking about. Like, you heard them. You heard what's happening with them, the nightmare they're living in. They got one freezer. They got mosquitoes the size of my fucking bar chasing them down the street. They get deliveries twice a week. They're serving shawarma to kids. They don't find out. They're, you know, just all these disasters. But still, in the end, you heard my man Pan Chef say, you got to respect the food. You got to serve it with love. And these kids are coming here loving what they're doing. I think it's the new generation of kitchen people that we're seeing here who, you know, look, I come from the broken band of pirates day and age where everybody fucking hates everything and we can't stand anything about the business. However, don't fuck with any one of us because we're all on the same team. But we still hate everything else. You know, we're very cynical and can't stand. I mean, if you tell me you like to breathe air, I fucking hate air. Air sucks. You're not on my team. Go fuck yourself. But
I was never that
still,
guy. I'm such an outcast. See, I could never do
that. I was
that
guy. I was that
I'm
guy.
I'm too nice.
I feel the same way. I was that guy.
Oh, maybe I'm older than you guys. I don't know. But like, it just. But you hear
know.
Them
I think
finish
the
up their
age.
Whole story. Yeah, we might. You might be older. I don't know. Maybe you might die first.
I got beat up too much by chefs to do that to people. All the chefs I worked for, because I didn't go to culinary school. I had to like work everywhere. So everybody kind of just.
just tooled me out for years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just had to eat so much shit from so many different chefs.
But it's interesting to hear how they end that on a positive note, which I thought was very cool. That was my point.
No, they were. Those guys are great.
Oh, fantastic. Very, very talented. Very, very talented, which is cool to see. They bust their ass. And Sarah, Sweet Cakes by Sarah, I got to ride in the back of the trunk or so of an Uber car with her at the last Troopers meetup in New York. It was a lot of fun. We actually did a Instagram or Periscope or some shit together. It was very, very cool.
Nice.
So you see these things. And Adam, let me ask you, man, because you're just kind of getting into the whole catering aspect of it. Have you got any horror stories yet? Has someone, you know, have you done a gig for somebody and, you know, you put everything on paper, you send it off to them, you go there, and then it's completely not at all what you talked about?
Yeah, I'm running in the middle of a situation right now where it's just like people, you know, it's tough, you know. It's people with money are cheap ass motherfuckers,
dude. And let me tell you something. I want to get to that because I want to get Jeff's opinion on that because Chef Jeff's been out there. I know the gig you're talking about, and Jeff's been working out there for a very, very long time. And Adam called me and told me about this gig, Chef. And I said to him, once they told me, you know, how much money they had and what they were doing and how they want to do things, I said, dude, a lot of these really wealthy people you'll find out are the cheapest people you'll ever work with in your life. Am I right or wrong?
Well, oh, absolutely right.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to call them cheap, but you do want to say that, man, it is it's a game, you know, and they're so used to, like, hustling everyone, you know, from, like, the garbage man on down, you know, like, hey, can I get that 10%?
Right, right.
It didn't hurt to ask. Come on. Hey, you know, come on. Everybody's like, it's all a game, like, to make a better deal and get a better deal and then brag to somebody about it kind of or something. You know,
yeah,
I get
exactly.
that vibe sometimes too. You know, people just, you know, they try to take an inch. It's just how it is. I feel like as the expert, you know, you just have to tell them, like, no, if this is the type of party you want and you want this type of service, like, this is what I foresee and this is what I feel, and I'm having a hard time moving forward without blank.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, you know, you have to just stand your ground sometimes. And, like, a lot of times they cave because you are the expert. They're coming to you to make them a great meal. If they can make a great meal, they wouldn't be calling you. You know what I mean?
It's
like, I would be like,
in the beginning, because I don't want to say no. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to be like, you know, because I want the work, you know, but it's really hard to be like, no, you know, I really can't do it for that. But, yeah, I'll do it for that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Have
you worked for any
difficult.
Bloggers yet?
No, well,
that's a nice one. They love to tell you that, right? It's like a blogger's like a vegan.
Oh, God. That was awesome. That was really awesome. Hey,
no, I haven't done the blogger situation yet.
Jeff, completely unprovoked without knowing the story here, just tell Adam a couple things that to you are red flags when you're quoting a catering or talking about a catering, and then I want Adam to kind of give you his bit of a story here. Just immediately, like, some things you see are red flags when you're quoting a party.
Well, just it's not even like, I guess red flags. Like, a lot of times people will say that they're super easy, and there's only so many of them, and it's you know, they're all looking to help. You know, don't worry. We all do this. We do this every day too. We're dying to help out, and maybe one or two of them is, and the rest of them honestly are on vacation and are like, aren't we all pitching in to pay for this guy? Like, no, he's doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it's and that's where it comes in. Like, you know, like, you have to be like, this is what it is. And if they, like, argue with you about it, sometimes you have to be like, okay, but
do you ever find it difficult to say no though?
Well, that's a difficult balance, man. It's like, do you take a job that you can't do well just to take the job and get the exposure? But what if that exposure is negative because you're out there and then you end up doing something that you don't think that you're really comfortable doing? And, like, yeah, I mean, dude, listen, we all have to do those things. I've done tons of those. Like, I do not like to take parties last minute. Not my favorite thing to do at all, but it's like, if the money is there and I have chefs who want to work and I can connect those dots fast enough and shit, I mean, it's stressful, but, you know, if it's all there, you have to jump on it, and sometimes you have to take risks, you know what I mean? Like you said, you know, like, you don't want to say no, because it's a big gig and it could turn into four more big gigs, you know, but at the same
right.
time.
Well, that's where this is going. It's kind of where it's going right now, you know, in that direction.
Yeah, but
you
know what,
know,
man? You know
like,
you know
I'm
what a promise is.
I'm kind of getting dictated
like
a little bit
like
right
rainbow.
Now. Like, they're dictating me how to do my job. It's like, no, I don't, you know, I don't really want to do it like that.
That's
you
it.
Know?
And that's it. You're the expert. You're coming in there. You do
right.
this. This is what I see. And this is what I know I can do really well. And if you want something done
right.
really well, you're going to let me do it the way I do it. If you want it to be done the way you want it to be done, well, then there's no guarantee on my side that it's going to be done really well because I'm not going to be really comfortable and I'm going to be relying on you to do things that I don't know if I want to ask you to do because you don't work for me.
right.
and
yeah.
it's like, I can't go, hey, yo, pick that up. Help me. Come here. You know, I can't say that to you because you're the person, you're my boss now. You know what I mean? So it's
right,
like,
right.
Ah, you know, that's, that, and that's, it's so hard to educate a client on those matters. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the daily challenge. I feel like for anyone
yeah.
in our business who's booking parties or booking weddings or booking dinners or booking themselves out or, you know, whatever, you know, shout out to everybody who's doing it. Cause I know it's a hustle, but it's like,
it's the hustle for sure. It's definitely the hustle. So
no,
Adam,
you know,
without giving away names or anything, just give a quick little rundown, a quick little, you know, paragraph brief and tell Chef Jeff the story you got going on right now and see, I want to get his opinion. This man's got a ton of experience working in the Hamptons.
Well, I got this offer for a few, like I've done a couple of parties for them. They live in this city, you know, they live in Manhattan and, you know, it's not that it's, you know, they love my food. They've had me for three parties so far. I've done two Christmas parties and a 50th birthday party for them. And
awesome.
Now they have a house in East Hampton and they want me to do like 4 days, 5 days with them. But, you know, I'm
looking
gonna
live there?
For, well, they would put me up on a place. I'd have to find something within a relative budget in East Hampton in the middle of August, which I don't know.
Look,
I'm sure you know.
I'll tell you what's feasible right now if you want to know. I mean,
I'll tell you what's feasible is an Airstream for about $68 a day that has
oof.
No air conditioner, running water, you know. So, but it doesn't. That's part of the experience. I would rough it like Plum did.
You
make
could
a fire,
my
you know,
yard
chill
for
out
40,
and,
bro. I got a hose. I'll hook you up. I'll put it out there. It'll be like,
he's got hose.
I have kids. I'll wake you up early. It'll be great. You'll love it.
That's badass. I'm in.
The chickens are all dead.
I'll feed the chickens. They'll wake me up. I'll go out. I'll feed them, you know, make it 35
bucks. No, they're all gone.
Day.
I didn't get new ones this year. I've been so busy. Me and my wife just decided it was like, It wasn't worth it this year.
So look, tell them a little bit what the client wants from you, because this is the interesting part to me.
Okay.
Well, one day they want to do a clam bake, but you know I'd have to supply the clam. I would get all the seafood in Connecticut
and how
you know,
many
bring
people?
It over with me.
Why would you bring it from
13
Connecticut?
13 people. It's 8 adults, 5 kids.
Is it cheaper
5
in
days.
Connecticut?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it would be, but.
Well, I'd go to Cops Island. They're like, they're the best. They got the best seafood, man.
That's awesome. I got to come over and check it out. I've never been there.
Oh, you do. We're
going
to do an event. I just did a dinner over there. Adam was with me. These guys are amazing. Make sure you check out Edible Nutmeg on the Road. We went out to Cops Island. It's where Blue Point Oysters
amazing.
Originated.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude. I saw that. I watched it. Yeah,
dude,
right.
Amazing. Amazing.
Amazing stuff. All right, sorry, Chef. Go ahead. Finish the story.
Yeah, continue. Sorry.
So it's a clam bake one day. It's a clam bake one day. And then, you know, and then it's like a 2 days casual dinner. Then they want to do a barbecue.
Hold on. Can I just time you out on the clam bake real quick?
Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Clam bake. On the beach?
Yeah. Not buried, though. Not
what?
Buried. I would do it.
On the beach, you have to rent a grill?
No, I have. Well, I would bring a, like a turkey fryer. I have a big stock pot that I could do it all in.
Oh, you got one of the. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I just was. I wasn't sure if you had to rent all that.
Okay.
Stuff.
Being
cool,
out there, would
it.
They allow that on the beach? Would they allow that
you
on the beach?
You have to get a permit for sure. You have to have permit.
Okay.
It depends on where it is. Some beaches, I think, after 6, you can set up, but if it's anything over like a certain number. You know, I don't know all the rules on the beach.
Adults.
You can't quote me to that. And I've had a several beers, so I mean, there's no way.
That's what makes you an expert.
Well,
that
hey,
expert,
that's good enough for me, man.
Yeah. But anything I can help you out with, Adam, like if you're ever out here and you need a hand or a pointer or anything, holler. I'd love to give you, like, you know, tell you where something is or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, just
I know,
point out,
I know that you stand well.
Just so you know, if the cops do come to you and say you need a permit, say you talk to Chef Jeff Perazzi and he said that it was okay.
Yeah, totally. They know me. All of them. Hopefully none of them know me. Except for, like, you know, that I'm such a stand-up cat, you know, that's like...
That's right.
Out here, that's you know, right. kissing that's babies right. and, like, making food for people, you know.
Hey.
Happy.
Damn.
Happy.
All right, so listen. So you,
I just love
you gotta,
cooking,
you
man. I know, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. Money, just as long as I get taken care of at the end, I just want to cook and make people happy with
my
food.
Man,
that's really all I want to do.
Kisses you can't pay rent with, bro. I'm sorry.
I know.
Great. I love pats on the back, too, and I love being told how awesome my food is, and that's amazing, but it's also about paying me at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, all that food costs money, my time costs money, my equipment costs money,
exactly.
and I'm out here for the love of it because it's my art, and I'm bleeding for it, so pay me. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is, you know? It's like, and that's what you're doing, man. It's like, that's what we're all doing, really, you know? It's like, we're out here, like, doing it, you know? It's like, I mean, I think it's really important
We're providing a service, like a special service, pretty much, you know, for people. And I guess you're right. You just need to get paid. You pay me my money.
What drives
me crazy is that, and Chef Jeff, you said it yourself, man. Like when people come to you, you're the expert when it comes to this sort of thing. You know, so I don't think you should leave a lot of room for people to tell you what to do. And what I do and what you do specifically, we haven't talked much about the whole restaurant aspect of this, but, you know, we come in here and you know, for me personally, when I come to do a party for you, here's my staff, here's how I'm handling, here's my business. And to me, I do it slightly different than some people. Here's my cost. XYZ, done deal, here it is. If you want to add gratuity to it, you pay me in cash gratuity, cool. If you want me to add 20% to the bottom line, I'm happy to do that too. But when I do it for you, when I cost out, like if I say to you, you want me to come to a party for you, and I say, okay, it's $100. I'm just picking a number to make it easy, by the way, because we've all been drinking. $100.
Totally.
$100 includes everything. That's going to include my service staff. That's going to include my food costs. And as you can see with this, the service staff's going to be shit, and we're going to be serving Doritos because it's only $100. But
$100 a head. Come on, be nice. $100 a head.
Okay. $100 a head, but that includes everything. Because what happens is when you quote that way, when you say, this is how we're going to do this, there's no in between. There's no changing it. There's no nothing. I mean, I've had one person say to me, how much?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I say, I don't do it that way. You know why? Because I want to make it easier for you. This is the bottom line cost. Whatever we need to take care of, this is what we'll take care of. If you want to add rentals to it, I will add the rentals to the cost of this. However, aside from that, this is what it costs to do. Now, this is my budget. This is how much I'm spending on it. Now, when I do that, I cost out, you know, how much I want to make on the party, what I think food's going to cost, what I think my labor's going to cost, just like you would in a fucking restaurant scenario. That's how I handle it. You know, I think when you go to somebody and they want you to break it all down for them, they want you to say, well, what if I pay you this and just tell me how much the food costs and we'll take care of that separate. I think that right there is a big red flag for me. It makes me say, you know what, this party might not be the right one for me because it's going to be a disaster in the long run.
Right.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, and that comes with experience, though, too. I mean, you know, I think you'll like in anything, man, you got to feel it out. You got to fall down and you pick yourself back up and figure out why you fell down. And you know what I mean? Like, when you have friends tell you, you know, in any sport or anything you're doing, it's the same thing. You know what I mean? It's like, but it's all about what you can handle. You know what I mean? And what your bottom line is, like what you need to make at the end of the day. And if it's worth your time, you know what I mean? To do all that stuff and what you're charging them for too, because, you know, any of your equipment you use, I implore you to definitely make sure you charge people that you're using it, because it's like, it's silly to bring your burner and your pots and your this and your that, and there's no, it's not figured into your cost, because if you're catering, you're a business, and all that stuff wears and tears and breaks, and you're not thinking about that in your bottom line. You know what I mean? If you're not thinking about that in your bottom line, you're going to end up hurting when that shit breaks. You know what I mean? It's like,
but there is some things you have to take in consideration when you're trying to build yourself up. You know, it's just like for me doing the TV stuff I've done. You know, I had to do a lot of that shit for free to start to build a name. So maybe when you're building
everything
a catering
I do
business.
Right now is for free. In my business, I mean, for me, it's really just about building up for chefs. I mean, I'm just trying to get people money and make great connections and build it up. You know, it's like I love the idea. That's why I do the company. You know what I mean? It's all about that. You know what I mean? I get that, but it's at the same time, you know, you have to freaking. I don't know.
It's just amazing to have these kind of conversations with guys who do the same kind of work you do, and just, you know, it's amazing how do I explain it? You know, if I walked into a room with you two guys and didn't know you, that first 10 minutes would be kind of like, we're kind of feeling each other out, not really, we're kind of protective. But then an hour later, we're going to be hugging each other, fucking drinking beers, like we've been friends for fucking 25 years. That's just the way it works. That's what you do. I mean, because in the end, we've all been through the same battles. We've all been through the same shit. Whether, you know, it's just a different name on the fucking invoice, whether it's Mrs. Johnson or Mr. Hagenschmidt. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. Holy. Yeah, you can laugh at Hagenschmidt. Hagenschmidt's a good name to throw out of my ass. So I appreciate that. But it's the same shit, and we've all been through it. And I think the thing that kind of just ties everybody together is the food aspect of it. We all have such a respect for food. Where Adam lives, there's amazing farms. There's amazing things happening up where he lives in northern Connecticut. Where I live,
farms.
Amazing awesome. Food. And Jeff, where you work, Chef, I know there's amazing things out there. I was just fucking out there looking at it and doing a fucking whole TV thing for it. There's amazing stuff.
Yeah, there's
stuff
some really
there.
Nice stuff out here, man. There's definitely some really great farms and things like that, for sure. I want to come
Boston
check out
farm,
Connecticut
because
I feel like it's like right across the bay, you know, and I don't know that
it's
much
worth
about
it.
But.
Dude, it's so worth it. We have such amazing food here.
There's
so true.
Many good farms in this area. It's unbelievable.
This
amount
you
of
want a food
local
tour.
Support here is unbelievable.
Yeah, people are into it, man. They're into it. And Jeff, I went to Balsam Farm, which is just an amazing place.
I love those
been,
guys.
Of course
Ian's one of my – I love Ian.
Do you really? Ian's amazing. He's awesome.
Ian's hilarious, dude. He's one of the funniest dudes. I mean,
they
used to come as far as, like, farmers used to deliver stuff to the back door at the places I worked. He was
That's
one of those
awesome.
Dudes that used to make me laugh.
We did a edible East End on Balsam Farm. It'll be out soon. Those
awesome.
Guys are amazing.
Awesome.
Made a really cool kale and cucumber and corn salad using yogurt. It was awesome. Anyway,
delicious.
I haven't seen enough yet. Make sure you check out my man, Chef Jeff Ferrazzi. It's at Forking Chef on social media. And, of course, the JK Chef Collection. The guy is a great guy. He's an amazing chef, and as you can see from the phone, he's a guy from the phone, from the interview here and the conversation tonight. He's just a great guy all around. He's a guy I can sit around and hang out with and talk forever because the guy is awesome. And, of course, Chef Adam Bedini, he's $3 a monkey shit in a $2 bag. No, I'm just kidding. I think the world of Chef Adam Bedini, the man doesn't give himself enough credit. He's an amazing chef. He's doing some crazy, crazy cool things and, you know, trying to find his way, doing things with amazing food truck. Make sure you follow him if most of you don't already. That's at on Instagram at a.bedini87 and, of course, CT Streetery. Make sure you check them out there. And, of course, my man, Chef Adam Bedini, is going, Jeff, to the CT Chefs Challenge this year to defend his crown.
Got
to defend
the belt.
Brother.
I'm taking it home again this year, man. I'm taking it
home.
Man. They better watch out.
I'm rooting for you.
Brother, if Thanks, you want to come, we'll talk off air, Chef. If you want to come, man, I'll put you on the VIP list and we'll take care of you if you want to come out there and hang out for the evening.
Oh, when is it?
September 22nd. September
22nd. Oh, that's a really good chance.
It's
going to
be a great time, dude.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
Great.
Let's work that out.
It's a great time. There'll be an amazing after party. We'll get into more of that as the show moves on here through August. But it's going to be an amazing time. And, of course, my man, one of the coolest things about this event, Chef Adam, we didn't have a trophy. We didn't have a certificate. You know what we had, Jeff? We had a motherfucking
what?
Championship belt. That's right.
Championship belt, motherfucker.
You're damn right.
I love
and
it.
And my man's going to come defend his belt this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, you know, we've been talking a lot. This time has just fucking flown by because it's been an amazing conversation. And I think I'm going to do more shows like this because it's really fun to do and talk and just, you know, like-minded individuals. I firmly believe, gentlemen, and, you know, we live in a world where everyone's trying to get a piece of the pie. Everyone wants to get their own thing. I work really, really hard to try to make a bigger pie because I think with a bigger pie, we can all do well for ourselves. And I think having conversations like this helps make that happen.
Definitely.
With regards to the business and kind of where we're at, we haven't touched a lot on the restaurant scenario aspect of it, and I want to touch on it for a couple minutes here before we sign off and call it a night. But we've all worked in restaurants. We've all been in that territory. You know, for me, one of the things that makes me crazy about working in a restaurant, and I've never understood it, and I've never said this out loud, I don't understand why it's expected, it's the norm. If you are a salaried individual in the restaurant business, whether you're a chef or whether you're the sous chef or whether you're chef de cuisine or even a front end manager or a bar manager, why it's acceptable to just be like, you know what, this job is 50, 56 hours a week. That's just the way we're doing it, and here's your pay for it. Why is that like the thing? Why is that, you know, every other job in the world's 40 hours a week and you get paid overtime? But why is it in our business, it's you know what, that's just what's expected? Why is that the thing?
Because we work at ridiculous hours. We work every day.
Yeah,
we work all the time. There's never – when do we ever have a time for ourselves besides at 12 o'clock at night or 1 in the morning or 3 in the morning, you know?
But why is that the expectation? Why is that what you know, people say that's what we're going to do? Why is that?
You ever read Creme Caramel?
Wait, say that again?
Have you ever read the biography of like Creme Caramel or whatever his name is?
I have not.
That famous French chef. When you read what those guys went through and like to be like amazing chefs, you know, a lot of them died young because of like the cook rooms, you know, were like zero ventilation and like they had to make that.
Cigarettes and just
It's like a real blue collar man. I shouldn't say man like that. That's like sexist.
That's all right.
Whatever.
You know what you mean.
But you know what I mean? It's a real kind of tough job. You know what I mean? Like really it is. And it's become like a fancy job in like say the last 15 or 20 years, in my opinion. I mean, where it's become like fancy in the sense where you know, there's like TV shows now where chefs are like on TV and they become celebrities, and it's like become like this like thing where people are like, it's almost like rapper stardom sometimes. You know what I mean? People like think like, oh, I'm gonna get on this TV show and I'm gonna become like, I'm gonna get out of the hood or whatever. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if that's a, I don't know if that's like a great analogy, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like
No, definitely.
I don't know. I think sometimes the Food Network is like the best and worst thing that's happened to food. As far as, like, it's great for, like, consumers, like, understand food better. But I feel like it's kind of made everyone feel like, well, I can do that.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know.
No, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to say it, but you can't. It's that's the difficult
throw
part.
Throw down right now. Me and you.
Let's
You don't like my salsa? Make a salsa. Let's see how good it is. Throw down. Blind challenge at the A&P. Let's go.
Now.
Right? That's what you want to say. Like, when someone like says something about your food, you're like looking at them like, really? My food?
Yeah.
Really? Intermodal time? Really? Huh? What? Huh?
You give them that million mile stare looking at them like, oh my God.
I think you're seeing a bit of a change in the business because you're seeing more guys like myself, more guys like Chef Jeff, more guys like my dude Chef Adam here on the phone. You're seeing more guys like us going that private route, going the whole, you know, it because. I don't know. Like, for me, I have more respect for myself than, you know, I live in a different – we live in the Northeast, so it's a little bit different here to say, and I'm not saying it's a bad amount of money, but you're not going to pay me $35,000, $40,000 a year to run a fucking restaurant. It's just – it's insulting. Like, I know what that entails. You may think I don't, but I'm not going to work 70 hours a week.
You know what it is? It's the margins nowadays are so tough, man. Restaurants are – it's a really hard business. I commend anyone who's in the restaurant business or has a food truck like Adam. I mean, I think that's like –
yeah,
when you have
the turnover
like
rate
that.
Is ridiculously high in this state. It's, I mean, where we are especially, you know, it's
overhead
it's
and taxes
like,
and permits and all the stuff you have to carry, insurance. You have to work just to clear that, you know, just before you
crazy.
Even can live, you know, that you don't eat until
insane.
You make whatever,
here's
you know, so it's like.
We have a guy on hold right now. I see him, and we have a bunch of calls here on hold, and we're not going to have time to get to everybody. I'm sorry. We're going to do this again. We'll get to you guys. But I want to get to this gentleman here
who is on hold with me right now, because this gentleman here, he owns a restaurant. He's one of the most incredibly positive human beings you'll ever meet in your whole entire fucking life. He's so cool to everybody. He's so nice to everybody. The one and only Chef Scatori is Kevin Levine is on hold right now. I just brought him on. Chef, what's up, brother? How are you?
Kevin, what's up, bro?
What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
You're good, man.
How you doing, brother?
Great to hear your voice, dude. Great to hear your voice. I hope you're doing well, man. You're killing it over there. You know, it's funny because, you know, you own a restaurant. You're part of that whole deal, man. And you just, you sent me a text after I was talking about what people pay, and you said, amen. I'm guessing that's what you were talking about, right?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. It's a catch-22, like, and even Adam, you were just saying, you know, I want to talk about entitlement for 1 minute. You know, these people come in, the younger generation, and they come in and they're wanting to make all this money. Dude, you got to work for it.
Hell yes.
It's blood, it's sweat, it's tears. You know, it's moving up in the ranks. And, you know, like, Adam, look at you, man. You own your own food truck now. I mean, it's just absolutely awesome to see these people, you know, working their way to get to what they want.
Well, it was a craft that used to be apprenticed. I mean, you know what I mean? It was,
right.
I mean, you know, it's like you have to think about the roots of what we do, you know? It's like...
Absolutely.
Right, right.
No, you're so right. You're so right.
You know, I think too many people, it's almost one of those things where you hear people who say to you when you start having some success in your life, they say, hey, man, don't forget where you came from. But I think there's a little bit of truth to that. I think it's not so much remembering where you came from, but it's remember where the business that you're working at came from. You know, people slaved away in order to make this be a profession that you can raise your family on, a profession that you can be proud of, a profession that when you say that you're a chef, people look at you and go, wow, that's really, really, really cool. 20 years ago, that's not at all what it was. And it's excelled
so
far.
No, it wasn't.
Right. And in the past few
years. 20 years ago.
No, dude, go ahead. You're on point. You're finishing it. You're with me. Go.
20 years ago, this industry was looked down upon.
Yes.
You're in the restaurant business, really? You know, now it is. Chef,
it was one of those things where people would say, oh, you're in the restaurant business? Well, listen, you know, when you decide what you want to do, I think you'll be very good at it. It was kind of one of those things, you know?
You're going to make some lady really happy.
Times have changed.
Look, and then I pulled my pants up and said, what are you talking about? Oh, shit. Ding. Ding.
Times have changed.
But pump.
All right, sorry, Chef. Sorry, listen, Kevin. Go ahead, brother. Sorry.
No, it's all good. But I mean, it's so true. I mean, times have changed, and you know, it's funny because I sit and my wife and I come home and we talk about the day and this and that, and you know, the recognition, you know, seeing these people come in day to day. You know, we have regulars that come in 5 days a week,
right?
And some
good
of the
for
days
you, man.
They come
That's
in
awesome.
Lunch and dinner, and you know, building the relationships and getting to know, they know who I am as an individual, not just as somebody preparing their food. You know, it's also remembering, and I'm always telling people my Emeralds days and, you know, my college days and, you know, when I used to be thrown on the back line because I didn't do a great job. I mean, you got to remember where you came from.
Wait, did they have college back then? I know how old you are. I didn't know they had college back then.
But on the flip side,
you
also got to remember who gives you the opportunities where you are today.
For me,
my opportunity came from my in-laws. They gave me the opportunity 8 years ago when Scatori's opened up to be who I am today. And for that, I'm grateful for it. So it's like you gotta remember, and like you said, Plum, you gotta remember who you are today and how you got to that place.
Completely, man. And I think it's amazing.
Shout out to my clients.
There you go. But it's true, and you're right, Chef. It's people come into this business whether they're, you know, not everybody obviously, but fresh out of culinary school, or maybe they did a stage somewhere, or they've worked at a restaurant in New York City or whatever, but you know, they come out and they try to enter the business and they think, well, hey, you know, I just graduated from Johnson & Wales. Like, like, I should be an executive chef. That's what I am now. Yeah. And you know, I should be paid, you know, $175,000 a year, and I should get every Sunday off, you know, because I have a degree. It's not the case, man. I think a culinary degree is great. I think it's a great basis. It's a great, you know, for me, when I went to culinary school, I had 10 years of experience before I went to culinary school. And when I went, you know, I could cook my ass off as a line cook. I can make you whatever you wanted. You know, if you teach me your menu, I will be the best line cook you fucking have. Culinary school gave me some history, gave me some background, gave me some appreciation. And more importantly, I graduated from CIA in 2003. I got taught discipline, which I desperately fucking needed in my life. So to me, culinary school is a great thing. Now, I didn't come out of culinary school saying I want everybody to call me chef and blah, blah, blah. I came out of culinary school having a mad respect for the business and understanding what I was getting in was more than just a job to have while I was in college.
Right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
100%.
But you have so many people who come out of the business now or come into the business now who are like, whoa, wait a minute. I had to work 6 months before I went to culinary school, so I did that. So I worked at McDonald's, and then I got this culinary degree.
Yeah.
And then, hey, you know what? I don't know why, but these motherfuckers that per se won't call me back. What's wrong with them?
Yeah. And then they're asking you how to make a bechamel, and it's like, what?
Yeah. So,
but
you're right.
They don't even know what a bechamel is.
Yeah. Look, let me tell you something. I know what a bechamel is, but don't ask me to spell that shit. But you're right, man. And so, Kevin, like, you know, the restaurant you've got is doing great. You're doing amazing things down there in South Carolina. You got some big things happening right now, man. Tell us what's going on down there. What's going on with the competition?
Yeah.
What's going on with those things?
Right now, we're Hot Blocks Cutting Boards is actually holding a hashtag 2016 Cutting Board Challenge. We had over 100 applicants all over the country.
You didn't take mine. You declined me.
Yeah, you didn't take mine either, Kevin. What the hell?
I wanted to be biased, man.
I'm just kidding. You didn't decline me.
I'm just busting your balls. It's all right.
Welcome in my kitchen. You guys are welcome in my kitchen.
What was the challenge?
Yeah, tell Chef what the challenge was, brother.
So basically, each week the chef gets a new ingredient and or some kind of a challenge. One chef gets eliminated each week. When we get down to the final two chefs, the Chamber of Commerce here in Myrtle Beach has donated 2 round-trip tickets and hotel accommodations from anywhere in the continental United States.
Oh.
So these two final chefs are going to come to Scatori's and get their final ingredient challenge live in front of, you know, all of our regulars. Anybody that wants to come social media-wise is more than welcome to come. It's going to be a 5-course chef-style dinner. We just had an elimination tonight, and the new challenge for they had 48 hours starting tonight is they need to design a dish including 3 ingredients with their first name with their letter of their first name.
I was like, what? Yeah, first letter. Wow, that was sucked.
One of them is his name is Kurt. So K, man, I'm hoping for him because I mean K, you got kumquat, you got kiwi, you got kale, but what I mean, there's not much K.
That's great. Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
I think there's got to be more than that, right?
Kohlrabi.
I'm over here like cases.
It's really cool. We've hit 4 countries now with Hot Blocks, 42 states. We just introduced our first line. It's a standard cheese board. It's a food and wine pairing graph. Right.
The knife holder one looks ridiculous,
yeah.
Bro.
The knife holder one
with the knife on the side. That's the one I'm gonna have to.
Smoke. His name's Smoke 2324. He's out in California, and
he's a smart guy.
He said, "Jeff, I want you to design me something different." I'm like, "Okay." He says, "I'm tired of putting my knives on the table, and you know, can you design like some kind of a magnetic something in your cutting board? I'm like, oh my God, what a great idea. So I embedded some magnets in the side of it, and the way I embedded them, no matter how you throw your knife onto this magnet, the blade will never touch the table.
Wow.
I love
that. That's
it.
Awesome,
man. I love
cool.
it. I love it.
Hey, look
one.
Here.
I'm telling you, that's the one. That's $1 million idea. You better patent
yeah,
that shit right now.
Kev, he's right, man.
Especially being on this show, man. Get out there. Do it. Do
hey,
it now.
You want to take this to a Shark Tank, I could help you do that, man, because I'm telling you what, that's fucking genius. I'm telling you, excuse me while I die, the clientele that I work with out in the Hamptons and Montauk and the East End, and I'm sure Chef Jeff would agree, those motherfuckers would eat that shit up, dude.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's a great idea. It's a great
cool.
idea. I love
yeah.
it.
Well,
thank
there
you.
It is.
Thank you.
The one and only Chef Kevin Levine, Chef Scatori, checking in with us, man. Keep killing
You're
it.
Man,
hey,
Kevin.
How much balsamic vinegar reduction did you do tonight? I always fuck up about that.
I was actually off tonight, but I did make a gallon of it yesterday.
Jesus, tap dancing Christ on a pogo stick. Good God. My man, Kev, nothing but love for you, my man. I'll talk to you here
hey,
soon, all right, dude?
Much love to you guys too, man.
Take care, bro. You're the man.
Well,
later,
I'll
guys.
At you. My man, be good. There he is, Chef Scatori checking in. What a great guy. I think the world of him.
He's fucking awesome.
Love yeah, man. He's a good dude, man. I think a lot of him. And you know, he's one of those guys who, you know, he gets a little bit of heat sometimes, but he's a great chef. And when I had him
For
on
what?
The show here, I
he's
was
so
busting
nice.
His balls a little bit. And you know, he came – I told him I was busting his balls about the balsamic vinegar reduction. I said, hey, man, 1997 called. They want the reduction back. And he Oof. Said, look, dude, maybe. He's like, but where I live, they're eating it up. My restaurant's packed every night, and they order it by the 4-ounce ramekin. And I was like, dude, if they're doing that, then I'm the asshole. You're absolutely right.
Yo, at the end of the day, it's your client you got to make happy, man. You know what I mean? Like, if your client says, like, listen, I want, like, cream cheese stuffed in chicken with, I don't know, think of something disgusting. I don't know. Just something,
yeah,
I mean, you know, and, like, you have to make it. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, is that what you like? Well, that sounds
yeah.
amazing. Let me hook that up. You
well,
know, Grandma Tilly made meatloaf. How? Oh, give me that recipe. I'd love to do it. You know, and like,
I mean,
you know,
that's one of the things that I think we have in common as private chefs and private caterers with restaurant people. We got to cater to the clientele, and whether
yeah.
it's something we agree with or disagree with, you know, no one's asking for your opinion. It's more
I gotta
about.
Be honest. I
Go
miss that, though. Don't you miss that?
Yeah.
Don't you miss the restaurant
yeah,
sometimes? Because the
do.
Restaurant,
lie,
it's a
it.
Demographic, right? In the restaurant, you have a demographic. You make your food, and they come
right.
out and eat it. When you're
right.
catering or you're a private chef, you're making their food, your spin on what they want. You know what I mean? Like
right.
It's a different animal, you know. It really is. I miss the restaurant a lot sometimes, man. I really do. I even the long hours, the whole thing. I miss it. I just like
yeah.
miss the whole.
But I have the answer.
You know, I'm by myself all the time. You know, in the truck, I got someone that makes orders, but they really aren't culinary wise. I miss the brigade, the lifestyle. You know, the camaraderie
yeah.
that you have with,
yes.
with your team. You know, that's kind of what
yeah.
I miss. The family style, you know.
Well, because
it's
every moving part makes that beautiful thing, that ballet, that dance. You know what I mean? The big all
and it
the
goes
tickets
back
come out.
To,
it's the dance. That's what it is. The dance. It's time to dance,
yeah.
guys.
And you know, it goes back to, you know, we work these long hours. You know, I'm working on the right of me. I got my man Chef Jeff on the left. I got my man Chef Adam, and we're working 2 feet from each other for 10 hours a day. I mean, that becomes your family. That becomes your people. That's the people you trust. That's
Hell
the
yeah,
people
man.
That. You know, sure, we may get annoyed with each other. We may fucking fight with each other. But guess who else does that, brother? Families.
Totally.
Do that.
Yeah.
And that's what
exactly.
it becomes. And let me tell you something, Chef. Jeff, what the cure for that what ails you when it comes to doing that and having that camaraderie, I found that as a private chef and as a caterer, it's doing pop-up dinners. Because I have found
nice.
That when you do
awesome.
That, I have Adam's worked with me at these dinners, man. How... I mean, dude, at the end of the night,
yeah.
it's all hug. I mean, listen, we'll be dicks to each other at the dinner. Like, hurry the fuck up, move this, do that.
But at the end of the night, it's a big hug. It's a big congratulations.
Because you're power tripping, Plum. What's up with that?
Yeah, I'm a douche.
That's what it's about.
I'm a douche. But at the end of the night,
I'm just breaking
balls,
man.
Yeah, dude, but at the end of the night, we're having beers and fucking it's the way it goes.
Oh, yeah, man.
And
I know exactly what it's about, man. I love that. I love it. I love seeing everybody later. I miss that whole thing. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, that's like my dream is to be able to do private work, but then be able to still have, like, you know, those moments. A friend of mine used to call them, like, water cooler moments. You know what I mean? Like,
ooh.
Everyone's, like, standing there for a second and just like, yo, you see that? Like,
yeah.
You know, whatever. And then being like, and then hearing like, chicken, 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 and like, oh, man, all right, let's go. Like, you know, like, everyone drops what they're doing and runs back into there and, like, gets it going and, like,
yep.
You know what I mean? While somebody's prepping something that somebody forgot, while some this and that, and blah, 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 you know, it's like, I love that.
Well,
there's days when all you can hear is that ticket machine going through your head, and there's days when you're missing that machine. You're like, damn,
oh, yeah,
I missed that.
Exactly. I mean, I love doing private work because it's just me, and it's at the end of the day, it's like, I got
right.
no one to yell at but myself. You know what I mean? If
mm-hmm.
I don't make prep
right.
lists, I don't
right.
do my job right, I don't ask questions, no matter what happens. It's me and the client. I can't blame the
right.
client. So it's like, all right, this is what it is. You know what I mean? It's like, and I have
well,
to figure
I tell
it
you
out.
What, I don't miss those days at all working in Florida, running restaurants where, you know, fucking things like
oh.
Mother's Day, and I'm working the pass, and I got tickets on my rail from the start to the finish. I'm doubled up at the end, and the goddamn printer is going on the floor. And
oh, yeah.
You just
tickets
you
to
just
the floor,
find,
line out the door. Woo!
Dude, that's it. And you're just trying to... You're just trying to keep your head above water, and you're calling tickets, and you're trying not to be a douche because you
oh,
know
yeah,
it's
man.
Like working at
yeah,
fucking saute
station. Come on, man.
And you
trying to
you
cook
notice,
six
like,
orders in one
yeah.
pan because you have to.
Yeah, I mean, but you
yeah,
gotta
man,
get
no
them
one knows
out
what
and,
that's
and,
like. No one knows what that's mm-hmm. like, man, unless you've done it. No one gets it.
No,
no one. You ever do dishes
no.
in a place like that? That's
yes,
that's
I have.
The truth. That's the
yes.
Yo, man, oh. you want to learn what it was like growing up being a chef, like how I grew up? That is the truth. That's it. That's
doing
it.
That, yeah.
Burn yourself with people who hate you. Everybody hates you. You're the dishwasher. No one's
everybody.
Nice to you. Pretty waitresses talk to you and flirt with you, and then everyone hates you because of that. Doesn't matter what you do. Everyone hates
right.
you. You're the dishwasher, the scrub. They don't want to talk to you. It was terrible growing up like that, man.
Dude.
But you learn so much.
Oh, you're
so
making
much.
My knees tingle. You're making my knees tingle. but having that same thing with, you know, we Adam and I, he was with me at my pop-up dinner right at Cops Island, where we took this fucking dock overlooking the water. You can find them on Instagram at chef_plum, the pictures from this dinner. We did was it six courses, Chef? I don't remember. It was 40
six,
people.
Yeah, it was six courses.
40 people, six
five,
courses.
Five.
We turned a dock, Chef, into a restaurant for a night. And
it was awesome.
Beautiful local food. We pulled the lobsters out of the water and cooked them that. I mean, it was just amazing. And it's one of those things that if you're looking for that sort of feeling to have it back, doing a dinner like that, it really puts you back there. You know, thankfully
oh, yeah,
I had an amazing
yeah.
crew. Amazing crew that made my job so much easier. And having great cooks like and great chefs like Adam helping out with that dinner was definitely a choice. And again, you guys, I haven't said it enough yet. You can definitely, you should, if you don't already, make sure you follow my man, Chef Jeff, at Forking Chef, which is just genius and should be a TV show name, at Forking Chef. And it should be like a sitcom, kind of like Roseanne, but like the husband's a chef and she's like, oh, Forking Chef. It'd be awesome. Maybe not.
That's why I started.
I've had a lot of,
that was
I've
my first business model. It never worked out, but that was.
Well, I apologize.
Everybody
I
needs a Forking Chef. Hey. No.
Hey. There you go. And of course,
hey,
my man.
Bada bing.
Chef Bedini at a.bedini87 on Instagram. You guys, I got one more question for you, man. Each, and then we got to end the show because they're counting us down. As I can see the countdown going right now. And we'll do this again. I know we have a few calls here on hold, and I haven't got a chance to get to you, but we will. We're gonna
oh,
do this
come
again.
On. Take them quick. Pull them off.
Dude, they're really counting us down. I can't. If I take the calls, they'll just end the fucking show, and it won't. You'll see. It's weird how it works because they cut me off. It's not good timing.
Terrible.
You know, you'll get somebody on the phone, they'll start running their mouth forever and talking like fucking
yeah.
Chef Kevin Levine, and they run their mouth. I'm just kidding, bro.
You know I love you.
Oh, man. What if you could change one thing in our business, one thing that you could change, what would it be? Jeff, you're first.
One thing, if I could change one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. If I could change one thing in my business, I guess, I don't know. I would. I don't know, man.
What would make it better? What would make the industry itself better?
I think I would want every single person who comes at a culinary school to have to do a month in a pit.
Not bad.
Before they came looking for the sous chef position. I'd have to know that they did a month someplace, like everybody. I feel like that should be like the new status quo. Like everybody has to come up, like, you know, because not everybody's come up. You know what I mean? And everybody has to at least know what it's like to come up, so they have the respect for the people who are doing it, who are really doing it. You know what I mean?
Because you're right, because without that guy in the pit, guess whose fucking day just got an hour longer? You know?
Yeah,
guess who? Everyone's day got an hour longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Guess who all just lost money? You know what I mean? Like,
wow,
you have to think about it all the way. It trickles all the way down, man. The whole thing is just like, if everybody's there an hour longer, the whole place lost money because that guy was unhappy because this didn't work out and, like, no one's treating him nice. I think everybody should have to know what it's like to have dishes thrown at them and all that kind of stuff. I feel like there's not enough respect given to the people, like the backbone people who work in our industry.
That's pretty brilliant, man. That's pretty fucking brilliant. Adam, what do you think, man? What's one thing you could change in this business, what would it be?
Oh, man. One thing that I would probably change is the way people personify our business and thinking that they could do everything
Time out. What was that word you just completely fucking butchered trying to say?
Personify. The way that they personify our business. Like, people, the foodies out there, I wish people took a step back and let us actually do what we are professional about what we do, you know?
Yeah. I think that's probably a good way to do it, man. But how do you change that? What would be the thing you do to change it? What would it be?
I don't, you know, I get rid of Food Network probably.
That's brought a lot of awareness to food. I feel like you couldn't change that, man. People make a lot of money because of the Food Network. A lot of chefs.
Listen, Food Network's been good for my business for sure. And I'm going to tell you what I would change. And it's kind of a combination of the two things you guys both just said. Number one, I would want a show on Food Network that was real. A show that would tell everybody what it takes to get to where you are.
They don't want to put me on, man. They don't want me.
I wish they taught you that in culinary school. I wish that culinary school had a class where you were in a real life situation where you have three orders of prime rib left and you have eight orders on the board, you know?
Yeah.
I wish they kind of taught you more real life situations like that, you know?
That's when you pull a waitress in and you strip her down.
You just tell her three orders of ribs, and they order five.
How is there eight on a ticket? Do you think this is a game?
Look, I love how you guys both
chimed
in.
I wish there was more real-life situations like that in school.
Here I am trying to have a Springer's final thought moment, and you guys both fucking like, oh, that's some good shit. Hold on, let me chime in there.
Sorry.
My bad, love.
That's all right, dude. Look, you have a show on the Food Network, on the Cooking Channel, on some sort of mainstream media that shows, hey, listen, this dude's a fucking dishwasher. This guy came from a family into this business because he had to. He didn't choose to. He needed a job. That's why he's here. He's not here to be Bobby Flay. He's not here to be chopped, and he's not here about your cutthroat kitchen. He's here because he has bills to pay and a kid at home. That's why the fuck he's here. I would love
you might get the History Channel to pick that up, homie. I don't know.
No. Only thing, yeah, you're right. But also, on the same accord for what Chef Jeff was saying, I think that everybody in this entire world should have to spend 6 months working in the restaurant business. I think, maybe not even restaurant, customer service business. just dealing with people, because in the end, that's what it comes down to. So we need a show that shows people coming into the restaurant business because they have to, not because they choose to, because it's the only way they can make money for themselves, to learn the respect for it. And then two, you know what it is? We'll combine the both. We'll have a person who's never had a job ever, and then they get into their first job ever is working in the restaurant business for 6 months. There it is. That's the fucking show. And you tell me that we wouldn't all watch that, because we all would watch it, and we'd all would laugh and be like, yes, that pan is fucking hot in the dish pit, and no one told you, and they did it on purpose to watch you burn so you can learn your fucking lesson. And there,
it's not nice
you have
people
it.
Do it, man. It's not nice.
You know, I feel good about tonight. I feel like we solved a lot of people's problems. I feel like we solved a lot of the issues in the restaurant business tonight.
Definitely covered a lot of ground tonight.
Yeah, I feel like it was definitely a good conversation.
It's been a lot of fun, gentlemen. Dude, let me tell you something. This may be one of my favorite shows I've ever done, to be honest with you guys. It's been a lot of fun. I feel like I was sitting right beside you, and we were just talking shop, and it was amazing. We had people checking in with us. Big shout-out to my man, Kevin Levine, Chef Scatori, of course, Pan Chef, and my girl, Sweet Cakes by Sarah. I see a lot of you. I see a few people on hold here. We're going to do this again, because this was a lot of fun for me, and in the end, that's what it's all about, is what makes me happy. I want to do a big thank you to my man, Chef Adam Bedini, for coming on here and talking shop with us and sitting here at the round table.
Yeah.
Of course, my man, Chef Jeff Rossi. You got it, brother,
thank
from the JK Chef Collection. You guys were awesome to talk to. I couldn't have picked two better guys to hang out with. Two great chefs, but more importantly, two better guys. And I look forward to the future with you gentlemen. Make sure you follow.
Likewise,
Jeff. At Forking Chef, and of course, my man, Chef Bedini, at A.Bedini87. Gentlemen, am I missing any of the plugs for you guys?
No, you told them.
No, unless, if any chefs out there, any private chefs, anybody who's done any private work, sorry, Chef Plum, real quick.
No.
Get at me, Jeff at JK Chef Collection. You're looking to do some work in the Hamptons in New York City, doing some private work, and you've done some private work. I would love to talk to any chefs.
We will be talking soon, Jeff.
please. Plum,
no,
you've got Plum's number. Plum has my number. He'll give it to you for sure. Call me.
I don't share information. No, of course. I'll make sure you guys connect. You guys follow each other on social media, so that's the best way to get it. Of course, I'll hand phone numbers over if you want. Also,
totally.
Just everybody who's out there, too, I want to point out one more time just to make sure it's very, very clear. Chef Jeff is helping out a buddy of his who some star chef who is opening a hotel, right, or restaurant in Nantucket, and is looking for four more guys to come work in the kitchen. 6 month contract,
quality,
I believe.
Quality
right,
guys
chef?
looking to work, learn, build a great team, and really make some really amazing food. So I think it's definitely a really amazing opportunity. Any chefs out there looking to come to Nantucket or from the area, please get at me. Jeff, jkchefcollection.com.
And, of course, I will do some social media and post that. And that's going to be a paid job as well, and it's also including housing. Is that right, Chef?
Well, the housing, it's minimal a month. You know, it comes out of the pay, though. It's part of the, you know,
right.
It's part of the package, yeah. But,
so,
yes. But there definitely is, there's a house. It's actually a pretty nice house from what I've heard, and it has, you know, the Wi-Fi and the great TV package, you know, like the real world, but working really hard at the same time.
But you're not going to have any time to watch any of that because you're going to be working as well as I know
no,
you're going to be working.
It's really it's a serious job. I shouldn't joke, but it's a serious job, and it's definitely a really great team that the chef's trying to build, and I think that. Like I said, I think it's a great opportunity for anybody who's interested in doing it. So definitely get at me.
Man,
jkchefcollection.com.
If you got nothing tying you down, this is a no-brainer. Hit Chef Jeff up and check that out because it really is a no-brainer. Michelin star chef, have it on your resume. It's 6 months of your life, maybe longer. You never know. But it sounds amazing. So make sure you do that. We'll post on social media, of course, on at chef_plum on all the social media. And, of course, on chef with two Fs on them.
Yep. Prima donna does not apply. Prima donna does not apply.
I think we've made that very clear tonight.
Sorry, did I overstep my bounds? I'm sorry.
No, you're fantastic, gentlemen. I'm gonna keep you on the. I'm gonna finish the show with you on the air here. So let's get into a couple plugs here and call this show a night. There you go.
Later. Later, guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow my guest this evening, the one and only Chef Jeff Ferrazzi. He is at Forking Chef, and of course, my man Chef Adam Bedini at a.bedini87 on social media. That's right, guys. And of course, don't forget me, your boy, the one and only Chef _ Plum on social media. Follow me there, Chef with two F's on Facebook. And don't forget my man following on Streetery at CT Streetery on Instagram. I saw we lost my man. We lost Jeff there, but Adam, you're still with me, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
There it is. Great show tonight. Love this conversation. It was a lot of fun. You were worried too, man. It wasn't bad, was it? It was a great convo.
Well, we're kicking ass, taking names. That's what we do.
There it is. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go ahead and call this show an end. It went long. The time is running out. But I appreciate you checking out the number one food talk show on Monday nights, Plum Love Foods Live. I am your host, the one and only Chef Plum. This is my man, Chef Adam Bedini. Chef, say bye to him real quick.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening, tuning in. We'll see you next week.
There you go. We'll see you next week. Hey, check it out. Food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. And we'll see you guys next week on Plum Love Foods Live. Take care, guys.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.